Ladies, this is always my favorite part of every event, trying to get everyone's attention. Oh, it's working. Fantastic. Hi, ladies. I'm Meredith Ziafat, and my husband, Afshin, is the pastor here at Providence, and I'm so honored that y'all have welcomed me to speak to you today at the table. So, speaking of tables, I was hosting a baby shower at my house not too long ago, about a month ago, and some friends came over early to help get everything set up, and they were helping me move the kitchen chairs around my kitchen table. And y'all, no kidding, they started falling apart. I mean, I'm talking screws coming out, legs coming loose, like perfect timing, right, when you're about to have a bunch of people over for a baby shower. But I was like telling them, literally, I said, don't worry about it. We've had this table forever. I'm about to get rid of it. You could see if you look closely that it's like I had painted that table black when that was the thing to do. And then later on, a few years later, I had painted that white when that was the thing to do. It's like that table, the stains on the chairs I had recovered, and it had been like tan when that was the thing to do. And then a little later on, it became gray when that was the thing. So this table had been through a lot. I said, y'all, seriously, don't worry about it. Like, this is worth nothing. So I started researching online kitchen tables, kitchen chairs, and trying to figure out what am I going to do with this space. Now we need 5 chairs. We, you know, have been continually growing our family, so this table was really too small anyway. But in the process of my researching this table, a strange thing kind of started happening. I started kind of reliving in my mind the life of this table. Because you see, Afshin had bought it when he was single, and he was living in Houston, and it actually started out as a table in his study. So the first time I ever saw this table, there were all of his books back behind him, and he would spend hours, literally, learning God's word at this table as a single guy in Houston. And I was thinking about all that God was doing in his heart during that time. And then, fast forward a little bit to our dating. At this time, we had dated for like 4 years and were broken up for like 3 years and we had gotten back together. So around this table, because you know, table is the safest place to be if you're dating. but we would sit for hours and talk around this table. And this is like really where our relationship, we were starting to reconnect after all these years of being broken up. So then, when we got married, this was the site of our first meals together as married couples. Now, the expectation is very low when you're married to me as far as the cooking goes. In fact, we still laugh about some of our first meals we had together. I bought like a can of le choy, which is like Chinese food that you literally just heat up. It was the only meal we ever, we still laugh and our stomachs still turn thinking about this meal. And we actually just left it and went out to a pizza place near our house because we were like, we can't even eat that. But these were our first meals together as a married couple. And then this, when we moved to Dallas, this table moved with us. And then it was in our first apartment together in Dallas. Now, at this time, I'm in seminary, so I'm the one with the books everywhere, and I'm studying for hours at that table. And then I'm remembering friends coming over and relationships that we're forming. And I'm thinking of some of the huge conversations that we had around that table where ultimately, God was leading us here to Providence Church. I just remember some of the specific people that we were meeting with that God really used in our lives to bring us here. And then we moved into our first house together. And then all of a sudden we have baby Elise, who's in a high chair next to this table. And then all of a sudden we have Elise sitting in a chair and Ansley's in a high chair at this table. And then now we have Isaac. There's not even a place for him at this table because there's only 4 chairs. And so he's in his high chair, thankfully. We have counseled couples around this table, and couples have counseled us around this table. So we've eaten countless meals here, and we've laughed here, we've cried here, and so it represents so much more than a place where we just get our nourishment. It's come to represent to me life and relationships. And so I've kind of become sentimentally attached to this table over this last month of me trying to figure out how to get rid of it. Like literally 1 month ago, I was ready to just put that on Facebook Marketplace and be like, free, come pick it up. And now I'm like, this is like a significant place and such a representation of our lives. But as I said, I have 3 small children. They don't share the same attachment for this table. In fact, I feel like I spend most of my energy at the dinner table saying, stay in your chair, stay in your chair, stay in your chair, stay in your chair, Elise, stay in your chair, Ansley. Oh, good, Isaac, you're in the high chair. Stay in your chair, stay in your chair, stay in your chair. You see, they're incapable at their ages of seeing the big picture of what's actually going on at this table. They don't really see this as a place where life and joy happen. They are truly so distracted by everything, y'all. It's like, oh, there's the orange Play-Doh. Oh, there's the Barbie. Oh, there's the homework that I didn't do. Oh, we need a new cup because this one's the wrong color. And this, they're distracted by everything. Sometimes they're just like wanting to aimlessly run around. And I'm saying, no. Y'all are missing out, and you don't even know it. Something so significant is happening around this table, but you're so distracted by all the other stuff, and you don't even know it. This is where life is. This is where joy is. And I think this whole scene reflects where a lot of us find ourselves tonight spiritually. It's like we're so distracted by the things around us that we're missing out on the most significant thing. But most of us don't even realize it. And so as I've been thinking about and praying about what God would have for us tonight as women, I think it's a simple message. And I think he desires for us to hear, stay in your seat, sit at my table, fellowship with me, be in relationship with me, feast on me, maybe for the very first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time. Now, the Bible is God's words to us, and it was divinely given that we could know God through his word and that we could grow in relationship with him. And the concept from the Bible that I want us to talk about tonight as we focus in on what it looks like to sit at God's table, to be in relationship with Jesus, to feast with him and fellowship with him. And this idea is that of abiding in Christ. You see on your table, the scriptures, abide in Christ. And this idea is found in John 15. So when we think of what it means to abide means to stay or remain or continue. So to abide is to stay, to remain, or continue. So I want you to think of the children sitting at the table, abiding. Maybe if I use that word, the message would come through. Instead of continually telling them, stay in your seat, stay in your seat, stay in your seat. Maybe if I say, abide in your chair, abide at the table, maybe that would like strike a chord with them. But when Jesus is wanting to explain this concept of abiding, he uses a different metaphor than sitting at a table. He uses the metaphor of the vine and the branches. And again, I said this was in John 15. So if you guys have your journals with you, that we got at the last table, or if you got one tonight in your bag, feel free to pull that out. John 15 is found on page 92. No pressure if you don't have that with you, certainly, but I thought if you guys did, that might be a fun thing for you to turn to. Page 92. So again, I said that Jesus is explaining this idea of abiding here, using this metaphor of the vine and branches. And I want you to look at John 15, verses 4 and 5. So you're looking for the big number 15 and then the little numbers 4 and 5. And this is what Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So I think the main point that we see here is that the branches cannot live if not connected to the vine. The branches, which we are the branches, Jesus is saying that he is the vine, we are the branches, we are the branches. We are totally and utterly dependent on him for our nourishment. We are totally and utterly dependent on the vine as branches. As branches, we draw life from the vine, and our connection to Jesus, as the branches are connected to the vine, is one of believing in and receiving from. Again, our connection is one of believing in and receiving from. And I think primarily this speaks to eternal life, because you see, we are spiritually lifeless apart from Christ. We're separated from God. And there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to restore that relationship. It's broken because of our sin. And there's nothing that we can do to fix that. And so in the same way that a branch is lifeless without being connected to the vine, we can do nothing apart from him. You see that in verse 5, nothing. Some of us are so distracted by trying to connect ourselves to Jesus. We're so distracted by all the religious things that we do that we're actually failing to connect with him, even though it's life that we receive only from him. There's nothing that we can do to gain eternal life because, again, we've been separated by our sin. We can only receive life from God, and that only comes through believing in Jesus and trusting him for our provision. And that provision, the way that he made, is through the cross. Because Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life in our place and died the death that we deserve in order that we, through faith, which is trust and believing and receiving, that we could be united to him, that we could be connected in relationship with Jesus, just as the branches are connected to the vine. So again, this is only through the cross. I love how John 1:12 says it. Yet to all who did receive him, there you see it, to all who did receive him, those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And you see the relationship there. That's what we're talking about tonight. Abiding is a relationship. And here it says that how we become children of God is receiving him and believing in him. So this is how we first enter into a relationship with Jesus, believing in him and receiving him, his life. That's how we first come to his table. But it's also how we remain at his table. So that's not just how we gain access to eternal life through faith in what he did on our behalf on the cross, but that's also how we experience life in the here and now, how we experience life today. I love John 6:35. Jesus says, "Here, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So there we see it, coming to Jesus, believing in him, and then receiving satisfaction for all that our soul thirsts for and all that our soul hungers for. Because ultimately, it's only through Jesus and only through feasting on him that our souls can truly be nourished. They can't be nourished truly and ultimately if separated from the vine. So we must receive life from him, but so many of us, like my distracted children who won't stay in their seats, we're feasting on everything else around us and looking for life in so many other places. I think when I look at my life, I think sometimes I'm honestly just distracted by all the stuff I have to do. I mean, life is busy. And I think sometimes I can get so distracted by all that has to be done that I fail to really carve time out to sit at Jesus' feet and to learn from him. Like we talked about, believing and trusting in him and receiving from him. Sometimes I'm just too busy with all the stuff that I have to do that I fail to carve out the time to do that. And then sometimes, to be quite honest, I'm actually looking for life in the things that are distracting. I'm actually like looking for my ultimate soul satisfaction by doing whatever it else is. And like honestly, in this stage of life, sometimes it can be for me just accomplishing whatever's on my to-do list so that I like feel like I'm satisfied and complete and whole. Sounds crazy, right? But it's like I'm looking to other things for the sense of life and purpose that I can only get when connected to the vine and receiving life from him. So whether it's just we're distracted by all the stuff or whether we're actually looking for life and all the other stuff, I think the result can be the same. And I know for me, the result can look like when I'm lying in bed at night and I wonder, how can my life feel so full, yet my soul at times can feel so empty? So maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, well, I think I'm in relationship with Jesus. Like, I think I know him. But this whole idea of abiding, like, how do I know if that's what I'm doing? And I think this passage in John 15 gives us some good clues as to, like, what life looks like when you're really abiding in Christ. And so a few kind of, like, diagnostic questions I'd love for us to consider tonight as to whether we're abiding in Christ are found in this passage. So the first I would say is your life bearing spiritual fruit? And what I mean by spiritual fruit is God using your life to impact those around you? Remember verse 5 says, apart from you, me, you can do nothing. Well, clearly we all know you can do lots of stuff, right? You can be super distracted, super busy doing all kinds of things. So what does this mean? Well, it's that your life cannot be used to make an impact for the kingdom if you're not abiding in Christ. Because nothing of eternal value really happens when you're separated from the vine. As a branch, we must remain in him in order for our life to bear spiritual fruit. But there's no hope of our life making an impact without that. I hear people say all the time, like, they want their life to make such a difference. And sure, your life can accomplish certain things, but to make a kingdom impact, what's step one? It's abide in Christ. It's receive life from him and see as his life, as you receive his life in you and it goes through you, it impacts those around you. So number one, is your life bearing spiritual fruit? Number two, do others recognize the fruit of the Spirit in your life? We have a list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are these the things that mark our life? Because verse 8 says that bearing fruit is actually the proof that we are disciples. A disciple is a follower of Christ, someone who's in relationship with him, someone who's seated at his table learning from him, who's connected as the branches are connected to the vine. And verse 8 says that this is the proof that we are bearing fruit. And the whole idea is that we cannot produce this fruit on our own. And so when our lives are reflecting the fruit of the Spirit, we know that we are connected to the vine. The third thing I would ask is, do you love others sacrificially? John 15:10 says, if we keep his commandments, we abide in his love. Well, what are his commandments? Look at verse 12. His commandment is to love one another as he did. So how did he? Look at verse 13. He laid down his life for us. So are we sacrificially loving those around us? Are we laying down our lives for the sake of others? That's one clue that we are connected to Jesus in an abiding relationship with him. And then the fourth thing I would ask, are you experiencing his joy? John 15:11 said, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. So to experience his joy, regardless of our circumstances, is evidence that we're abiding in him. Because as we're connected to him and we trust in him, we receive his joy. It's actually his joy that's flowing through us. And so it's not dependent on our circumstances, and it's not dependent on us mustering up that joy. It's flowing through us because of our connection with him. Now, Jesus desires that we would experience more of his joy and his peace and his love. And he desires that we would experience it in deeper ways than we have in the past. And so sometimes he actually walks us through periods of pruning, like we see in John 15:2. Look at verse 2. Now, these periods of pruning, you'll see, are actually branches that are already bearing fruit. So if you think about that, that's those of us who are connected to the vine and who are receiving life, who are trusting in him. So these are our believers that know him, yet God in his love prunes us or cuts us back in order that we would bear more fruit. Now, when I'm thinking about seasons in my life where I feel like God has been doing this pruning work in me, a couple that come to mind right off the bat are sacrificing jobs that I loved and that honestly I was probably finding too much life in order to like be home with my kids who I absolutely adore now, and it's all worked out great, but I feel like I want you to know that it all turned out okay. But at that time that felt like a ginormous sacrifice, and I felt like in some ways God was taking away what was good. But now when I look back at it, I see that it was for the sake of the better, because I honestly was finding life in what I was doing. And remember, this passage teaches us that apart from him, we can do nothing. So all those things that I was doing in and of my own strength, it really wasn't until God pulled that back and taught me in that season what it looked like more to depend on him, that I was truly able to abide in him in a more profound and deeper way. That actually, as I was accepting my place of weakness, that I was actually drawing more strength from him as I was receiving life from him, and that what was really a dark season. And then I think of a season where I was having some nerve issues related to my back that, like, I've always been a strong person, able to take care of others. And at this particular season, like, I would wake up in the morning and not even be able to walk to the bathroom on my own. Well, you talk about forced dependence. I like to be strong on my own, you know? And that was such a humbling season for me as I truly had to embrace my weakness and where God had for me. Now, this was an incredibly painful season, so I don't mean to make light of that at all, but just to say that it was actually God's love that walked me through those seasons, because it was during that time when I had been depending on my own strength that I really came to know that I wasn't truly abiding in him, and I wasn't truly looking to him for the life and the satisfaction that my soul so longed for. So it may be that some of you guys tonight are finding yourself in one of these periods of pruning, and it may be an incredibly painful process. But I would submit to you that his judgment would be if he just left us where we were, in our own satisfaction, distracted by the things that we were doing. But it's his grace, it's his mercy, it's his love that he would call us into deeper relationship, even though that's through some of the painful providences of our lives, some of the painful experiences that we walk through. And this pruning is a painful experience because it's not like God is a surgeon that's just removing the harmful stuff, the bad stuff, and leaving all the good behind. He's actually taking and removing some things that are good. I mean, like these jobs, like I was like loving and serving others with these jobs, or like my physical health, like these are not bad things that he was pruning from my life. But again, it was for the sake of the greater thing. And when he is the ultimate treasure, which he is, then it's his grace and his love and his mercy that he would draw us to experience him more. So it may be that you're sitting there tonight and thinking, I feel like maybe I'm abiding in Christ, but I don't know totally what that would look like. Like, what does that look like on a daily basis to truly abide in him? Like, I desire to be in relationship with him, but what does that mean? I think we find a huge clue in verse 7, John 15, 7, when Jesus says, "Abide in me and my words in you." If you abide in me and my words in you. So here I think we see what it requires to maintain connection with Jesus. Practically speaking, it's receiving and believing and trusting in his words. This makes me think of when the disciples, really Jesus' followers, were starting to turn on him. In John 6, we see Simon Peter's response to Jesus' observation that this is what's happening. And John 6 says, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, the disciples, his followers, 'Do you want to go away as well?' And Simon Peter answered, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God.'" So here I see this connection with the vine. I see this abiding where he's saying, "You have the words of eternal life." So we receive the words of eternal life from Jesus, and we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So we see the connection to the vine, receiving his words and believing in him. Now, for me personally, when Crystal first asked if I'd be willing to come and teach a little bit about abiding, my immediate prayer is, "God, teach me that truth more profoundly in my own life. Like, teach me what it really looks like to abide in you in deeper ways than I've ever experienced." I've been walking with Jesus the majority of my life, and I remember loving his word as long as I can remember, but like my prayer is like, "God, more of you, more love for your word. Teach me to abide in you." And y'all, one of the sweetest things that I've experienced in these past few months since our last table is that journal of John. it's been the perfect, my friends are like, yeah, because like I talk about it all the time and I'm giving it to everybody I know, I feel like, because y'all, it's given me a framework and just consistency of being in the Word of God each day. It has a place for me to write down what I'm learning about Jesus. And I feel like my life is being transformed through this time in the Word. And it's not that I've never experienced it before, but I'm experiencing it in a new and fresh way. And that's my prayer for all of us. Is I feel like I've been particularly challenged by the I am statements, like who Jesus says he is. This is the seventh one that we're talking about tonight, the vine, that he's the vine, we are the branches. But I just feel like Jesus has been so kind to slowly show himself to me again in fresh and new ways, even in passages that I've like known and loved my whole life. And so my prayer is that we would all experience that kind of deepening intimacy with him as we dive into his word. It may be for the first time. It may be for the first time in a long time. It may just be a little more, a few further steps in our faith with him and in our study of his word. I just feel like a lot of times we give each other as women passes on really being in the Word of God because we all get it. Our lives are all super crazy. We're all juggling a million things. And I think so out of our fear to make somebody else feel bad, we're just like, girl, I get it. I know, life is crazy, and don't worry, like you're in a really hard stage and it's gonna get better. Well, guess what? It's never really gonna get better. And the fact that you're in a hard stage is all the more reason to dig into God's word. We're doing each other a disservice as sisters as we say, don't worry about it. No big deal. At the times that we are most stretched in a million directions, we are so dependent. We are lifeless. We can do nothing apart from the vine. And how we connect to Jesus is through his word and time spent with him. And so we need to encourage one another when we're sharing about how we're not doing that. Like instead of just comforting each other, let's comfort each other and encourage each other. Dive back in. It's never too late. John's a great place to dive in if you're looking for a place to do that. So I think my own life, I have to constantly encourage myself, no, make the investment. Come and stay at the table and fellowship with Jesus. And then as I'm, talking with other friends throughout the course of the week, it's like I want to encourage them to do the same. And a passage lately, again, one that I'm very familiar with, but that has been so encouraging to me personally as I've been wanting to carve out time for myself to cultivate my intimacy with Jesus and then encouraging others to do the same is a passage with Mary and Martha. I want to read this out of Luke 10. And I want you to listen for that abiding. I want you to listen for the receiving from and the trusting in or believing in. So now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. She's seated, she's listening. So there's Mary. Abiding in him, sitting with Jesus, receiving his word. It says, but Martha, distracted with much serving. So there's Martha, distracted like my kids running away from the table. And Martha, it says, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So what's the one thing that's necessary? It's Jesus. It's relationship with him. It's staying in your seat at his table in order that you would receive nourishment for your soul. It's finding your life in him. That's the one thing. So my prayer for us as women is that we would come alongside each other on this journey and that we would encourage each other to accept our weakness. We are but branches and we must be connected to the vine. So to encourage one another, accept your weakness, draw your strength from him, draw your life from him and allow him and his life that you would receive his words and that you would receive his joy and his love and his peace. But we got to know each other. We got to be in each other's lives to know how to do this and to see the places where, like my children, we're distracted by so many things and we're missing out on the greatest thing. We need to encourage each other to stay in your seat, Stay in your seat. Remain at his table. Fellowship with him. Seek to know him more and receive his life and his joy and his peace. Let's pray together. Jesus, we want to know you. We want to be women who know you. God, we want to be women who receive your word eagerly and we trust you. God, we want to be women that make sacrifices to cultivate our relationship with you. For those of us who don't know you, our desire is that we would come to a place where you reveal yourself to us in a way that we long for intimacy with you, for relationship with you, that we would stop being distracted by all the things that we're trying to do to earn our way at your table, but that we would just fall on your mercy and receive your grace and receive life from you. And Lord, for those of us that know you, may we experience more of your life and your grace and your peace and your joy as we abide in you.